Good morning again and welcome. I'd like to take this opportunity to join again with David and extend a warm welcome to all of those who are visiting with us this morning. Certainly glad to have you here in our presence. Love to have you back every time you have an opportunity to be in our midst. One of the things that has always fascinated me about reading the Old Testament is to look at the way that God would interact with his people as we have recorded in the scripture. How he would interact with his people Israel, but then also how he would interact with certain individuals that were serving his purposes in the Old Testament. For example, when he was getting ready to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God asked the question, shall I keep from Abraham the thing that I'm going to do? In other words, God was pondering, should I include Abraham in on the plans for what I'm getting ready to do with Sodom and Gomorrah? In fact, he goes further on in that passage to say, because I have known him that he may command his household. In other words, what God was saying is, because Abraham is so vital to the plans that I plan to bring forth, I should probably inform him on what I'm getting ready to do right now and not keep him in the dark. In another passage in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it tells us that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man would do with his friend. Moses had the unique opportunity to actually go and have direct conversations with the Lord. And then he would go and relay those messages to the people. In fact, there was an occasion where Moses brought the people to the mountain of God that they may hear directly from the Lord themselves. And it was so terrifying to them. They pleaded with God that no longer speak directly to us, but only speak through Moses. And Moses had that rare opportunity to be that go-between between God and the people. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, when talking about Caleb and his faithfulness, God says about Caleb that he is my servant and he has followed me fully. And you may say, well, that doesn't seem like all of that grand of a statement. But when you consider the fact that only two people from Caleb's age group, him and Joshua, were allowed to go into the promised land and everyone else died in the wilderness because of their unfaithfulness, this is a very profound statement that God makes about Caleb when he says he's followed me fully, meaning he has done everything that I have asked him to do. These are some very profound interactions and statements that God made about certain people that served him in the Old Testament. But there is one that stands out to me far and above all others. And from my own personal estimation, this is, to me, the most fascinating statement that God made about any man other than his own son who came in the image of flesh when he said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. But aside from that statement is what he says about David. As we have recorded by Paul in the book of Acts, when he says in Acts 13, verse 22, he says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. This is in reference to the scriptures that was read into our hearing this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, where the prophet Samuel is informing Saul that he's been removed by God from being the king over his people. And the reason why Saul was removed, because Samuel said, you have not done what the Lord asked you to do. And because you have not done that, you have been replaced. And God has found someone else that is after his own heart. You know, as I thought about that statement, a man after God's own heart, there's at least three dozen sermons you could actually preach from that particular topic. Because when you think about the life of David, he wasn't a perfect man. He had plenty of shortcomings, and there's numerous sermons that you can preach on the subject of redemption and repentance, and God using broken people who have a heart to serve his purposes. And those are all well and good sermons to preach. But because I have a hard time staying focused on the subject, I force myself to just focus on this statement. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And the reason that I wanted to focus on that is because I think that statement should characterize every child of God. That God may say all of us, I have found this person after my own heart, who will do all my will. And so what I would like to do this morning is focus on four key attributes that we could note about David that would be attributed to someone that would be said, this is a person after my own heart. The first thing, if you turn to Psalm 119, verse 197, he says, oh, how I love your law. And so the first thing that we can note about David, David loved the word of God. In fact, in that same passage, he goes on to say, it is my meditation all the day. Meaning that God's word, God's law, was the centermost thing that dominated his mind. Now, I'm going to say something, and I mean no harm by this, because this is really, I'm talking more from experience than anything else. There's a difference between reading your Bible and loving God's word, isn't there? Have you ever found yourself where you get up and it may be your custom to do your daily Bible reading and you read a passage in scripture, and by the time you finish breakfast, maybe you forgot what you even read that morning? Or maybe that's just me. See, we can get so carried away by the other distractions in our life, thinking about, I have all these projects that I have to get done at work today. I got half a dozen emails that I didn't get to last night, and I need to get to those this morning. I wonder what other emails I have to tend to, and I have that big meeting after lunch today that I'm not prepared for. And, oh, by the way, I need to stop and get these things on the way home from work. And am I going to have time to do all of this stuff? And those things dominate your mind. What David says about God's word, it's my meditation all the day. Meaning he did not allow himself to get distracted by all those secondary things. His focus was on God's word and God's law. And so one of the things that we can learn from him is, how do we develop that love for God's word? And I'll tell you, if you truly have a heart that is open to seeking out the truth in God's word, when you sit down and start reading your Bible, you can actually get lost in that thing and lose all track of time. And the next thing you know, an hour or two has gone by because you've been so immersed in God's word. That's what it means to love God's word, to where it's the only thing that you're thinking about in that particular moment in time. And so we need to challenge ourselves to be able to find moments in time to where we're not worried about so many other things in our lives, where we can truly just be enveloped in God's word. But see, David, in his love for God's word, he also understood that it actually benefited him to be immersed in God's word. And see, in Psalm 119, verse 11, he understood that there is protection in God's word. He says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. See, David understood that the more that I'm thinking about God's word, the more it keeps me on the right path to guide me in the way that I should go. David also understood that there was great comfort in God's word. If you go to verse number 50 in Psalm 119, he says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. What do you do in times of trouble? When things aren't going your way, when you're dealing with discouragement in your life, when you're dealing with hard situations that we all go through from time to time, what do you lean for encouragement? David says, I turn to God's word in those times of trouble. It may be the case that maybe sometimes you may want to reach out to a fellow brother and sister in Christ for comfort, which I would encourage all of us to do in times of distress. And those of us who are providing the comfort, what do we use to comfort those who are being afflicted? I would encourage us to share scriptures with one another to help us in our times of discouragement, in our times of discomfort, so that we can find that strength. We can find that comfort in God's word. Those are things that we can do to develop that love for God's word, to where every time we need something, it's the first thing that we turn to. Not only did David realize that God's word protected him from sin, but he could turn to it in times of trouble, but it also gave him great peace of mind. Look at verse number 165 in Psalm 119. You know, I didn't notice this at first, David, but really this whole scripture, this whole chapter here in Psalm, you can get about 4 or 5 dozen different sermons out of here on this subject. But in verse number 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. And see, when we look at these things that David wrote about his love for the word of God, it's not even just the fact that he loved God so much that he loved God's word, but he understood all of the benefits that would come to him from the love that he had from God's word. Those of you who were married, think back to when you and your spouse were first dating and getting to know one another. Some of you may have to think back a little further than others. But think about the times when you were first getting to know one another. Think about the conversations that you would have. And then think about the times after those conversations when you would go back to your separate places. I bet you would probably think about that person for the rest of the evening, looking forward to the next time that you would have a conversation with them, longing to have that communication. I would dare say David had the same type of longing to be in God's word, that whenever he wasn't immersed in it, he couldn't wait for the next opportunity to immerse himself in God's word. And that's the approach that we should have as well, too, when it comes to the word of God, to have that love and that desire and longing to always want to be immersed in it. In addition to the love of God's word that David had, David also loved to pray. Turn to Psalm 116. See, you all thought I was going to do this all from Psalm 119. You see, I have some variety in me. Psalm 116, in verse number 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. I want you to think about something that he says here in this passage. Two things that I want to point out. First of all, he's talking about God's faithfulness. In verse 1, he says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. David's talking about the faithfulness of God. In my times of trouble, in my times of distress, I call out to the Lord, and guess what? He hears me. Now, notice, he's not saying God gives him everything that he wants, but he says he hears me. That's where the comfort comes in, knowing that God hears you and that God is there. And David says, for that very reason right there, I'm going to call upon him for as long as I live. Meaning when I get into distress, there's only one place I'm going to go, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord. And it wasn't just in times of distress that David sought the Lord out. In Psalm 116, skip down to verse number 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Not only did David call upon the Lord because he answered him in times of trouble, but David also realized all of the good things that God had already done for him. all of the things that God had provided for him. And David said, because of all of the good things that God has done for me, I will always call on his name. I will always seek him out. And then finally, when it comes to prayer, in Psalms 145, verse 18, he says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Talking about that connection. Have you ever, in your Christian walk, felt adrift, felt distant, felt like maybe you didn't have the type of fellowship with God that you once had? Could it be that maybe your prayer life isn't the same as what it was in times past? Just like when it comes to reading the Word of God and being immersed in it, the same principle applies to our prayer life. If it comes down to just being something that we do because it's a habit in a routine, I have to ask myself, is my heart really in it? And if my heart's not really in it, am I really getting the full benefit of what I'm doing? Remember, just like there's a difference between reading the Bible and loving God's word, there's a difference between praying and loving to pray. See, those are two different things. You should be looking forward to times when you could be alone with no one around and just have time to talk to God one-on-one, with no distractions, with no interruptions, to be able to pour out praise and adoration to him, to share all of your troubles and your concerns with him, to open your heart. There's been times where I've prayed and share things to God, and I say, well, God, you already know my heart anyway, but I still need to tell you. Because it's better for me to express them to you out loud and vocalize them and acknowledge those things. Those are things that I need. And it's that connection. He says the Lord is near to all who call upon him. And so if you feel distance from God, maybe it's because you haven't taken the time to call on him. And so not only did David love God's word, not only did he love to pray, David also loved to praise God. In fact, there are so many psalms that are written that focus strictly on the praise that he had for the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 119 and verse 164. He says, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Now, don't be like Peter in this situation and say, well, Lord, how many times, if my brother sins against me, do I need to forgive him? Don't ask the question, all right, how many times a day do I need to praise God? That's not the point. The point that David is making here is he praises God continually. It's a constant theme all throughout the day. So let's think about this for a minute. He says of God's word, I meditate on it all the day long. He says of prayer, I will call on the Lord as long as I live. And then in terms of praising God, he says seven times a day, I praise you. Are y'all noticing a connection? When it comes to his life, the image that I get is that his life was built around God being the centerpiece. That's really what it comes down to when you talk about having this love for the word, love for prayer, and love for praise. It stems from a heart that fully and completely is immersed with God, that loves God more than any and all other things. And so when he says seven times a day, I praise you, what he's really communicating is I'm constantly thinking about God and his greatness and giving him praise and adoration because of it. It's actually a natural reflection because he says, I praise him because of his greatness. Because God is worthy of praise, because there is no other God like our God. Turn back to, we're in Psalm 119. Go to Psalm 95, because I think this particular passage kind of summarizes his full sentiment in terms of what drives his praise. In Psalm 95, verse 1, he says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God and Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." You all may be familiar with the song that uses some of those exact same words. Let us come before the Lord and bow down. But what David is expressing is the heart that children of God should have when it comes to praising him. How do you feel on Sunday mornings when you wake up? Do you wake up with excitement? Do you wake up with enthusiasm for the opportunity to come to the assembly to give God praise? I promise you I'm not saying this as a way to slight anyone, but I believe that sometimes we take it for granted. Because we were here last Sunday, we're here today, and we make the assumption we're going to be here next Sunday as well, too. What if you didn't have that opportunity? What if it was taken away from you? I'm not even talking about because of persecution, because there are some who are sitting in our assembly right now who physically have not been able to be here, and they long to be here and could not wait to get back and rejoiced when they came back. Let's not take for granted the opportunity that we have for praise. Let's remember the purpose that we're here for. Let's remember what drives us to be here. David, he had the mindset. He understood in verse number one of that song where he says, "Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." That right there should cause shouts of praise from every child of God. The fact that every single one of us have been guilty of sin and our rightful punishment was death. And because of God and his goodness, he provided a way of salvation for every single one of us. That alone should cause joy in all of us. That alone should cause thanksgiving in every single one of us. That alone should drive us to want to praise him every single chance that we get. So when we look at his love for God's word, we look at his love for prayer, we look at his love for praising God, that leads us to one final statement in terms of attributes that made him a man after God's own heart. Turn back to Psalm 119, verse 104. "Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." See, his love for God's word got him to a place to where he hated everything that was against God's word. See, when you truly love God and you love everything that he loves, you would despise everything that goes against him. In fact, it will cause you to be in a position where you cannot even be around things that are contrary to God's word, because it should disturb you. Look at what David says about it in Psalm 101. Turn to Psalm 101 and verse number 3. He says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall astray. It shall not cling to me. Look at what he says. I'm not going to be immersed or be around anything wicked. I'm not going to even put it in front of me. There are certain things that when I'm watching television, if it comes on my TV screen, I change the channel. I don't even want to see it. And it's not even that I don't even want to be tempted by it. I just don't want to look at it. I'm offended by it. That's the attitude that he has here. He says, verse number 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Anything that is contrary to God's word, he says, it has to go away from me. I will not allow it to be in my presence. And then skip down to verse number 6. Lost my place for a minute. In verse number 6, he says, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. David's love for God, it drove his actions towards everything that he did and the people that he associated with. David said, if you're doing evil, you can have no part with me. I'm not going to have fellowship with evildoers. Those who walk upright, those who seek justice, those are the ones that I'm going to be around. But those who are perverse and those who tell lies, I'm not going to associate with those type of people. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, does our love for God cause us to hate every false way and drive it far from us? Because to hate it means that you can't tolerate it. You can't be a pacifist and allow things to be around you that you know are contrary to God's word. That is the attitude that God is looking for. When he says, I found in David a man after my own heart, remember, the key thing that's added on that is who will do all my will. So in essence, what God was saying about David, and that hopefully can be characterized on each and every one of us, is their heart is like my heart. They're going to love the things I love and they're going to hate the things that I hate. And I know when it comes down to it, I can count on them to do everything that I command. Can God say that about us? Do we love his word? Do we love time in prayer with him? Do we love to praise him? Do we hate every false way? That is what the Lord is looking for when it comes to being a servant after his own heart. When you think about it, really, it comes down to, do we fully love him? Because he said, quite frankly, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so if we love him, then we show our love through our obedience. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, that is one of the, if not the single most important things that you need to do. Confess your faith in Christ, repent from your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You have that opportunity to do that today. And if you're already a child of God, but yet you have not been living faithful as you know that you should, and you've allowed sin to come into your life, or if you have any things that you need to bring before the assembly this morning that we can assist you with, we bid you to bring those things now as we stand together and sing.